Lies with Sarah Schaefer is a production of WNYC Radio.
Before we get started today, I just wanted to remind you guys about my upcoming tour dates. In the coming weeks, I'll be at the Tempe Chuckle Wagon, the Omaha Go Nuts and Laughs, the Nashville Blues and Jazz and Sometimes Laughs, the Sacramento Church of the Saint Hilarity, the Houston We Have a Comedian, the Gainesville Guffaw Depot, and New York City's Carnegie Hall. Check my website for dates and ticket details. All right. Welcome to Lies. On each episode of Lies, we probe the mind of a fascinating public figure, leaving no stone unturned and no truth told. I'm Sarah Schaefer. My guest today is one of Britain's rising comedy stars. She has written for Channel 4's popular teen comedy drama Skins, appeared numerous times on BBC television and radio, and has received critical acclaim for her yearly solo shows at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival. Please welcome Josie Long. Hi, Josie. Thank you so much for being here.
I'm super excited to be here. Thank you.
Yeah. You're just in town for, you're in New York for what, you know,
a
few days?
I'm in New York for a week, but I'm planning on staying here.
Oh.
But illegally.
Illegally?
Yeah.
You're going to be an illegal?
Yeah.
Alien?
No papers.
Oh, you're a rebel.
Yeah.
I'm a little nervous, to be honest. I'm not sure what...
I think you shouldn't be afraid, because I sort of see, like, there's no negative consequences of just putting it out there. Do you know what I mean? Like, just being honest about it.
I'm just saying, letting everyone know, I'm here illegally.
Yeah, full stop for the duration now.
What about, like, if you were walking down the street and you saw a cop?
I would go up to him.
You go up to him?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't tell them I was here illegally, because that's a stupid thing
to
do.
That would be silly.
Yeah. But I would start a conversation with them to be like a decoy conversation. And I'd be like, hey, buddy, isn't the United States a great place to live as an American citizen?
Oh, that's really like a good way to kind of keep it, you know.
Keep it real. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, they will never suspect anything if you did that.
Mm. No, so that's my plan.
What is it like being a foreigner? I mean, does it ever get tough knowing, you know, you're not in the club officially? Like, you just weren't in, you know, the stars were not in your favor when you were born.
It's a burden to live with every day. I grew up in the West of Wales. Mm-hmm. If you don't know the West of Wales, it's kind of very different to a lot of the rest of the British Isles, because mm-hmm. it's very behind.
No running water
Yeah,
or
no
stuff
water,
like that.
No electric. Yeah, it's yeah. kind of... 150 years different to the rest of the United Kingdom. So growing up in the West of Wales, like dreaming of America.
You know, I've always wanted to live on an island, like, you know, with palm trees and coconuts and stuff.
You should, that's what England's like.
The British Isles, you know, have always sounded so exotic.
They are. They're like a tropical paradise.
I've never been there, but I am a world traveler. I know that you're just always on the road, traveling to so many places. You know, what did you think of Madagascar?
I like the shows there, because when I was performing in Madagascar, I was performing in a stadium, which is 60,000 people. Mm. Now, the population of Madagascar is 11,000 people. So the stadium itself had to be, like, built on for my performance there. That was a stipulation of my performance there.
Oh, so what you're saying is they didn't have a stadium that big
Mm-mm.
before you got there.
Mm-mm. They don't. It would be pointless to have one, because,
right, because they don't even have enough people.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And also, a lot of Madagascar is like a nature reserve, beautiful, kind of mm-hmm. untroubled. And I said, like, get rid of that.
So you're kind of like the Olympics coming in there. Like, mow it all down. Let's build a stadium.
Yeah.
And all the things I need to do my show.
And I'm like, guys, it will be great for you. And then I wink, and they don't know why I've winked. And then I built the stadium.
That's one of the 57 laws of power.
Yeah. If you give them a wink.
You give a wink, but they don't know why you've winked.
Yeah. And they sort of think, oh, does this mean, like, them and me share a secret now? Mm-hmm. Does this mean they're my friend? Or does this mean they're taking the mickey out of me? Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Now, you just said take the piss out of and then the mickey.
Yeah, I corrected myself because one was a slow word.
I just would prefer if you spoke English in here when you're here. I mean, our listeners are Americans and we need to understand what you're saying. So just try not to use.
Okay. Are they grinding my gears?
Grinding my gears. Okay, that's another one. I'm sorry. No,
okay. Are they whistling to a tune of a foreign harp?
Let's move on. I don't have time to give you language lessons. I mean, that's like, I could give you a Rosetta Stone or something after. Can I ask you for a favor? Because, I've been working on a role for a movie.
Okay.
And I just want to try out my British accent for you. And I just want to get some feedback on
it. Oh, I can't wait.
Is that cool?
Okay. Yeah, that's a dream. So,
oh, hello.
When are you going to start doing that accent?
That was it. That's the line. Oh, hello.
Oh, and that's like a Scottish person.
No, that's a royal British person that I was.
Oh, that's good.
I'm playing Kate Middleton.
Kate Middleton.
In a movie.
What happens in the film?
You know, it's like one of these hangover type movies.
Oh, great.
But it's with
nice.
Kate Middleton and Pippa and her girlfriends, and they it's like their bachelorette party.
Amazing.
And
can I suggest someone to play one of the roles?
Yes, you can.
Dame Judi Dench.
She's in talks. She's in talks to play the really wild one in the group, like the one that gets.
Oh
yeah.
Do you know who you should get to play the other part? The woman who played Samantha in Sex and the City, the one who, you know, in Sex and the City,
yes.
One of them really loves having
yeah,
it off.
The one that's like,
Yeah, yeah. Mm. She should play the stuffy one.
She should play the one that's like, guys, I don't think we should go in there.
And this is
some
already...
puns, and then just throw in a lot of puns.
Uh-huh. This, like, this is a royal... Oh, I can't think of a pun.
This is a royal pain in my ass. And she's like getting rammed in the...
I would like to say I hold a lot of sway in the British film industry.
You do.
And I would officially like to greenlight this project and to fund it personally and also to fast track it to cinemas around
God.
The world.
I did not. I was simply asking for feedback on my British accent. I had no idea that this was going to result in a distribution deal.
What would we do? We'll shoot it starting Monday in 3 weeks.
Okay.
Get it out.
Yeah.
We'll do the post. Then we'll do a little very quick publicity tour. And there are three venues for the publicity tour. One, the Royal Albert Hall in England.
Oh, wow.
Two, the Josie Long Memorial Stadium in Madagascar. Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. And three, I don't know anywhere in America. You'll have to sort that out.
Okay, I'll sort out the American stuff. Definitely going to drop by Mount Rushmore.
That's a great idea.
A big press conference from there.
Mm-hmm.
Also, maybe like a Kickstarter for like, let's add Josie Long to Mount Rushmore.
I would be willing to do that. But at the same time, I think it would damage my status as somebody who's here on the down low.
No. It's the opposite.
It's
what you were
breath.
Saying. If you put yourself on Mount Rushmore, I mean, people are going to be like, well, obviously she's got a visa.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't go up there with Thomas Jefferson and whoever the other one, I don't even know which ones are up there, but I assume it's Thomas Jefferson and like Benjamin Franklin and stuff.
Like I'll be in the middle and I'll have my arms around the other guy.
Yeah. And like maybe like a peace sign up in the
yeah,
air.
People
you
love
know,
that.
You'll make it, you know, fresh for the millennials.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah, yeah. Optimistic, forward thinking.
DIY. You know?
I love that.
That's good. I like that.
That would work really well, I think.
I love this, all this talk about America because, you know, it doesn't get talked about enough. But are you intimidated at all by the fact that as a country, you know, we are really sophisticated and highly informed about world affairs and culture?
Mm-hmm.
How do you try to convince Americans, you know, when you come here that the age old dumb Brit stereotype is just that? It's a stereotype.
Mm-hmm. I carry a croissant in my bag.
A croissant?
And then when people are like, but you don't even read the 10,000-word articles in the New Yorker. I'm like, and then I open my bag, and just sitting there's a croissant.
That's so British. That is just
like,
so British of you.
What did I have for breakfast this morning?
Croissant, because a croissant is a
quintessential British food. It's just,
and it means you're smart because it's got layers of flaky dough and butter.
But also, it's just the height of British sophistication. Is you'd have a croissant, you would have like a salami sausage, you would have a little shot of Goldschlager.
Just at the
start of the day. And that's like a British
Brits
breakfast.
Love Goldschlager.
Out on the street.
Yeah.
You'd see like all the cafes, like say in London, all the cafes out on the street in London, you'd see kind of old men with a little shot of Goldschläger, mm-hmm. a salami sausage, and a croissant. And that's how they start their day.
It's so classy.
Before they go and play pool or badminton or jumping jacks or whatever. Like in the center of the typical British square, you'd have a sand pit. And that's where they do their kind of morning exercise. It's a very beautiful culture, and I think it's very misunderstood.
Yeah, because I would say that's just so dumb. But obviously it means something more to you guys.
What you'll get as a young woman when you enter the square is all of the old men who are kind of assembled and doing jumpy jacks or whatever, they'll look to you and they'll tell you little bits of philosophy, little bits of folklore, proverbs to pass down to you.
Mm.
The British sensibility.
Okay. But just to little girls.
Yeah.
That's weird.
It's
what's one of the...
A British proverb?
Proverbs.
Oh, don't get ahead of yourself, mate. Mm-hmm. Or who do you think you are?
Who do you think you are?
Yeah.
Who
do you think you are?
That's a question. I mean, but I guess it's a question we all have to ask ourselves at some point.
And I also think it's hard to translate into American English. I think in American English, it would probably be something like, each leaf on a tree has its own purpose, and yet we only see the tree.
Mm.
But in British English, it just would be who do you think you are, mate?
Right. We can't fully understand.
No, like
because
I've
of
got
the meanings that words can't even truly.
Mm. Like if you look at Walt Whitman, Leaves of Grass. If I buy it here, I'll be looking at it, but it doesn't make sense to me because I've got the American version of it, and the English translation is a lot more shut up. That's most of it.
Wow.
Mm. Mm. It's a very real country.
I'm so glad Walt Whitman was one of ours. You know, you're well known in your home country. I've been told by my producers that you are incredibly famous in England. But everyone knows that if you want to be truly famous, mm-hmm. you have to make it in America.
Mm-hmm.
So what is your strategy?
I am going to go undercover with the mob.
Which mob?
Oh.
There's different mobs. There's Italian mob. There's mm-hmm. Russian mob. Mm-hmm. There's Asian mob. There's
can I do more than one
at a time?
There's
gay man mob. I mean, everybody's got a mob now.
Oh, that's disappointing.
Well, it's the you know, the criminals of each group find each other.
And they mob together.
Yeah, and they're like, let's form a mob and
I wish I'd known that before I bought the suit.
Yeah.
A mob boss costume.
You bought a costume for it.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's just on movies, you know, that's from
the 20s. Yeah, Married to the Mob. No, Married to the Mob.
Oh, you bought a suit.
80s/90s.
80s, 90s suit. Mm. Mob suit. Okay.
So, and that was my plan, was I would become married to one of the mob, infiltrate the mob. No, that's only the start of it. So at the moment, you might not think it's a good plan, but then I would take them down from the inside.
Oh.
Then who's going to be on the front page of every paper?
Josie Long, heroic. Mob wife, double agent,
yeah,
illegal alien.
But no, it wouldn't say that because it would blow my.
You
cover.
Still, you don't want to be known.
No. Also, I think if I did get offered citizenship, I would turn it down.
Really?
To keep my status as an illegal.
Well, as the Brits would say, who do you think you are? There's a, you know, speaking of which, you know, you're trying to come over here and make it. And
I'd like to make it big, really big.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
That's why I know anyone who, begs to be on this show obviously wants to make it big. And they know that this is one of the doorways they can use to get there. You know, there's a trend right now in American television for British actors to have great success playing American characters.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I'm not willing to do that.
You're not going to do that.
I'm not willing to do that. I think it's the guy off of This Life, Egg.
Yes.
I see him as a nation traitor.
And so all these people, all the people in The Wire.
Oh.
All the people in...
Traitors.
Yeah.
And
House.
In the UK, they're wanted.
Dr. House.
Dr. House
MD.
Is wanted in the United Kingdom
He's
as a voice traitor.
a voice traitor because they do come here and they adopt the American accent.
And when he goes back over to the UK, he can't. If you try and affect an American accent as a British person in the long term, you can't go back. You can't switch back.
Oh.
There's one, you have one choice.
You mean physically in your brain at some point you can't go back?
A switch flips, yeah. So that's why I sound
Well, I was going to ask you to do your American accent because I assumed you'd been training.
There's no way. There's no...
But you don't want to risk it.
No, because then you go back to the United Kingdom. That's why Dr. House has been out here so long, because if he goes back to the United Kingdom, he will be tried for treason by the court system.
Well, just do it. Just do a little bit and I'll cut it out. I'll edit it out later.
Okay, as long as you promise.
I promise I will edit it out.
Okay. I would love a sandwich.
That was terrible. I mean, really, I didn't know what you were doing. I thought you were singing. I would like a sandwich.
It wasn't, but when you sing it, I can sort of see a lot of potential for it.
It could be, you know, with the success of Frozen, let it go, let it go. You know, that's...
Let it go.
That's from Frozen.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's the highest grossing animated film of all time, so maybe you should be aware
of
that.
I'm sorry, I've been really busy.
Yeah, speaking of being busy, you got a very early start in comedy. You were 14 when you began, and you won the BBC New Comedy Award by age 17. My question is, does a child have anything funny to say?
No, not at all. The way that I managed to do that as a 14-year-old was I found a book of, like, jokes.
Oh, so you were just repeating books, and I took jokes it on with out of a book.
I took it on with me, and nobody noticed, and nobody cared.
You had it on stage with you. And it was it was like your personal notebook.
No, it said on the front in big letters, bumper book of Polish jokes.
It was like Polish jokes.
It was like a racist.
Like, oh, wow.
Joke book. And I took it on with me. And the country of Britain lapped it up. They loved it. Nobody caught me. Nobody challenged me. And then at the age of 21, I had read the entire book.
Hmm.
On stage, like I would go out and like the first gig I did the first page of the jokes and blah blah blah, and by the age of 21 I'd done the whole book, and I thought, fine, I'll start writing myself. And if anything, that was when things took a turn for the worse.
Well, I was gonna say, I mean, you do know there are other joke books. You could have bought another one.
Yeah, my mum got me the book, so I didn't think that
you
I
thought it was just one.
No, I just didn't think, and in retrospect that does sound really...
How did things take a turn for the worse?
Well, I didn't. Nobody would book me. So I basically went to the skids. I hit the skids hard.
But you've obviously come back from the skids.
Yeah.
And you're
just this last 6 months. Again. Yeah, just this last 6 months. I spent 10 years with no real income. And I'd have a little backpack and I would just walk across the United Kingdom like Forrest Gump. But walking and not running. And also, I mean, in some ways it was glorious because the land provides for you with coconuts and with swordfish and with fresh clams and with, that's all you can have.
You know, I can sense, you know, and that what I read about you is true here. You're very engaged in politics. And have you ever found yourself in hot water for voicing an unpopular opinion?
No, because... What's weird about me in politics is my sort of politics is I'm just very supportive of the status quo.
Yeah.
And that you don't hear that voice enough.
No.
You know? Like what I do is when the government comes out with something completely unacceptable, wildly unpopular, like stealth privatizing our National Health Service or introducing a really, really dangerous to democracy bill like the lobbying law or something like that, I'll come out and I'll be like, guys, that's a great move. Well done.
You need to be supportive.
I like to give a voice to people who do not have a voice apart from all of the mainstream media and all of the power.
Mm.
And I like to give a voice to them and say, guys, let's go with what power has decided.
Yeah. I mean, obviously the follow-up question is, when are you going to run for office here? Because that is something that would go really well with what we're doing over here. Yeah.
Oh, that's brilliant. Well, I think point one, infiltrate the mob. Point two, get on Mount Rushmore. Mm-hmm. Point three, stay illegal.
Josie Long, thank you for teaching me about your culture. And I hope you have fun infiltrating our culture.
Thank you.
Everybody, you can check out Josie Long at the Spokane Nutty Fun Time Club.
Mm-hmm. In Nebraska.
Yeah, that's in Nebraska. Not to be confused with the Spokane, Washington, Hey, Here Comes the Funny Ones nightclub.
Mm-hmm.
Lies is produced by Curtis Fox and Sharon Mashihi. Our sound engineer is Bill O'Neill. Chris Bannon is the executive producer. Lies was created by Sarah Schaefer and is produced by WNYC New York and distributed by Nerdist Industries.
When will we see a comedy album from you? any plans in the works? And will you be posing nude on the cover?
No, not again.